بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We continue with what the Sheikh saying after we spoke about the washing of the najasa of the dog and the pig, and he said one of them بالتراب, which is the first one to start with dirt. Now we started talking about now washing the najasa and removing the najasa. What we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about how many washes are enough to remove the najasa. Is it once, is it three times, or is it as long as the najasa is removed? In previous lessons we spoke about what we can use to remove the najasa: water or anything that removes the najasa, as long as it is pure in itself, then you can use it. We spoke about that and we finished that. Now here he said, rahimahullah, وَيُجْزِئُ فِي سَائِرِ النَّجَاسَاتِ ثَلَاثٌ مُنَقِّيَةٌ. He said, three acts of cleansing are sufficient for other kinds of impurities. He said, في سائر النجاسات. Other kind, he said three times, for other kinds of impurities. So what is he talking about other kind? He spoke about the najasa of the dog and the najasa of the pig. We're talking about the saliva of the dog and the saliva of the pig. And we already spoke about that and we differentiated and we said there is no proof to differentiate, to say they are the same. We said there is no proof to say they are the same, and we finished that last lesson. But what we're talking about, he said, other najasat. Yani other najasat, that whatever is considered najas by the sharia is removed if you have to wash it three times. Except what? According to the madhab, what did he say? The saliva of the dog and the saliva of the pig. It has to be seven times, the first one with dirt. We've done with that now. Okay, now we want to talk about those other najasat. The Sheikh says, طيب here, in the Hanbali madhab, it has to be three times. يعني a najasa cannot be removed except three times. Example, your hand, a najasa came on it. A najasa came on your hand, like urine or whatever. If you wash it once with water, have you removed the najasa? Even if the najasa is gone, and the traces of it is gone, and the smell of it is gone, with one wash, according to the madhab of Hanabila, it is not sufficient. It has to be three times. Tab, what is the dalil? Before we go to the dalil, when he says al-ijza, al-ijza in Arabic means to be sufficient. Al-ijza, to be sufficient. So he's saying it does not suffice you washing it once. It has to be three times. What is the dalil of the Hanbali madhab for that? The dalil is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, which is the hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim, إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُم مِّن نَوْمِهِ فَلَا يَغْمِسُ يَدَهُ فِي الْإِنَاءِ حَتَّى يَغْسِلَهَا ثَلَاثًا فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ. He said in the hadith that one of you, when he gets up from his sleep, let him not submerge your hand in water in a pot until you wash it three times, because you would not know where your hand been at night. So what does that mean? That mean when you wake up in the morning, of course, as you know now, you open the tap. There's no more pot of water which is you store water in. It's everything is what? On tap. Yani you open the tap and you get the water. But back then used to be a pot of water, they cover it and leave it. Then when they wake up in the morning, they dip their hand in the water and they make wudu. So he said, do not dip your hand in the water. Tayyip, when you wake up in the morning, you need to wash it three times first, which is you get the water with the cup and then wash your hand three times and then dip your hand inside the pot of water. That is the yani the dalil for that. They said from this, by logic, that means your hand was possibly, it is possible for your hand that has najasa on it. طيب, because you could put it in a, on your private parts while you are sleeping, and then you can get najasa on it. And then you need to wash your hand 3 times. Hence, they deduced from this that you need at least 3 washes to remove the najasa. 3 acts to remove the najasa. Is it on everything? Yes. Yani, for example, if a najasa come on the carpet, and let's just say you've got the water and you rubbed it once with a strength and water and you removed it. According to the madhab, not good enough. You have to do that 3 times. This is the madhab of the Hanabila. طيب. Is there another adilla that contradict this? Yes, there is the dalil, which is the majority of the ulama. They said once is enough. Once is enough as long as you have removed the najasa with it. So what is the dalil, ya jama'ir? They said, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of the Bedouin who urinated in the masjid, he said what? Pour on it water. Not water, pour on it a bucket of water. So he poured on it a bucket of water, once was enough. It removes the najasa. The majority of the ulama, they will tell you, as long as you removed the color, the smell, and the taste, khalas, it's gone. The najasa is gone even once. And that is the correct opinion. That is the correct opinion. Tayyib, what do we say then about the hadith about washing the hand 3 times? The ulama have 2 ways. First, yani response to that hadith is what? What did I say? The response of the hadith, first they said 3 times. The Prophet ﷺ, he's talking about preferred 3 times. Once is enough. But honestly, this is not a convincing response. The Prophet ﷺ ordered, and he ordered 3 times. And there is no other evidence to reduce it to preferred 3 times. The Prophet ﷺ said 3. It is like the tawaf 7. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed 7 and ordered 7 around the Kaaba. Tayyib, we can't say 6. We can't say 3 preferred and 4, 3 obligatory or 4 and 4 preferred or none of that. We have to do 7. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered 3. The second response they said, this is hukum ta'abudi. This is something, just in this case, it's a 3 times. And khalas, you don't ask for the reason why 3 times. The Prophet ﷺ said 3 times, then 3 times. It is exactly when he said about the saliva of the dog, 7 times. All right. So these are, yani, 2 responses from the responses of the scholars about this hadith. Because the correct opinion would be, inshallah, is what? That once is enough, as long as you have removed the najasa. And the hadith of the A'rabi, yani we have the dalil from the sunnah and the dalil from the intellect. The dalil from the sunnah, the hadith of the Bedouin man in the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ once. And many other ahadith where the Prophet ﷺ, it is used once to remove the najasa. But as for us, what is the safe side to be on? 3 times. To be on the safe side, what do you do? You wash it 3 times to remove the najasa from it. And same thing, if a najasa comes on your thawb, you want to wash it, then just wash it once and run. Wash it once, twice, and 3 times to imanan bin nadafa, yani to increase the cleanliness and to remove all possible najasa that is left over. But you find most of us, they're not even satisfied with 3. We just keep going. This is we're talking about. To be on the safe side, minimum is what? Yani you do 3, but 1, as long as the najasa has been removed, would suffice you. We learned the rule last time we spoke about it. Al-hukmu yaduru ma'illatihi wujudan wa'adama. The ruling revolves and coupled with its reason, existence and non-existence. Yeah, the ruling is to purify it. The reason is the najasa. So the purification, as long as the najasa exists, you keep purifying. Once the najasa is removed, then the najasa non-existence, then the process of purifying can stop. So that's the golden rule, very important to remember. Yani, for example, something is haram, Like water contained alcohol, but if that alcohol was removed, the water become allowed to drink. Now, another important point befalls under this ruling. Also under this heading, we talk about the recycled water. The recycled water. What is the recycled water? The recycled water, when they increase the najas water and clean it, yani they add to it chemicals and clean it, until it becomes pure and loses all the resemblance of najasa in it. It goes back as the normal water. Now, is this water allowed to be used for wudu and drinking? All the bodies of fatwa allowed it for us to use for wudu because it becomes pure again, using what? The golden rule that I mentioned to you. What about drinking it? A lot of them, as I read the fatwa of this ulama, they said it is better to refrain from drinking it. Not because you're not allowed to, because the nafs desisted. You know, you desisted when you know that where it comes from, you don't drink it. But is it clean in itself? It becomes clean in itself and you can use it for wudu. I just want to read to you what Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah said. Here he said, أَنَّ مُكَثَرَةَ الْمَاءِ النَّجَسِ حتى يبلغ قلتين يجعله طاهرا مطهرا بلا خلاف. Imam al-Nawawi, he said, with no differences of opinion, to increase the najis water. Of course, they didn't know about the recycled water. They have the concept where you have a smaller pot of water, and he says, if you keep pouring water inside that small pot of water until it reaches the qullatayn. Remember, Imam al-Nawawi is a Shafi'i, because after the qullatayn, there's no najas. Can you see? He said, you increase the water until you reach the qullatayn, then you can use it for wudu. Can you see? And the fuqaha spoke a lot about this, that if they have a little bit of water, najas in a pot, and then you keep adding pure water until it reaches a certain level, then this water becomes, then najasa has no hukum and no ruling anymore. It goes, it disappears. And from this, and based on this, adillah, the ulama, the modern ulama, concluded that the recycled water is allowed to be used for wudu and goes to become pure again. Here then he said, وَإِن كَانَتْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ فَصَبَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ تَذْهَبُ بِعَيْنِهَا لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ صُبُّوا عَلَى بَوْلِ الْأَعْرَابِ ذَنُوبًا مِمَّا. Here listen to what he said. And you can see here the point. Here he said, if the impurity is on the ground, one pouring of water is enough to remove it. Because of his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pour on the urine of the Bedouin bucket full of water. Shuf, how now he said three times and now bucket of water once. Why he had to say this? Because he has a hadith in front of him. So he differentiated between the najas on the body and on the hands and the najas on the ground. Whilst there is nothing to draw the line between this. Yani, he gave two rulings because he saw two different circumstances. One, when you wake up in the morning, you wash three times. And one, pour water on the ground. Taib. That would cause instability in understanding the reason behind it. You can see? Whilst if we say that once the najasa is removed, what happens? Khalas, it's gone. You go back to the pure state regardless of how many. Sometimes the three times not good enough. Isn't it? If it's a hard najasa that is stuck in the carpet, let's say you have a little kid and he did it on the carpet and it's all stuck all the way in, especially if you have that carpet with a long fur, not even 10 times going to remove that. Yeah, keep brushing it until it all comes out and the smell goes and yani the color fades away to the best of your ability. See, that's an issue here. So to restrict one or three on that, we say minimum one and maximum as long as you can remove the najasa with moderation so you don't go into waswas. Because if you go into waswas, you'll stay till tomorrow morning scrubbing. Like, no, as long as it doesn't fall into the waswas. Here he said, وَيُجْزِئُ فِي بَوْلِ الْغُلَامِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَأْكُلِ الطَّعَامِ النَّضْحِ. Now we come to the issue of the young boy. Here he said, it is sufficient to sprinkle water on the urine of a baby boy who has not eaten food. Here he said, for the baby boy. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith collected by Ahmad, Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, بَوْلُ الْغُلَامِ يُنْضَحْ وَبَوْلُ الْجَارِيَةِ يُغْسَلْ. The urine of the baby boy يُنْضَحْ, and I will explain that to you, وَبَوْلُ الْجَارِيَةِ, the urine of the little girl, يُغْسَلْ, is to be washed. What is النضح? النضح is to take water and deeply sprinkle the water, not just overly, just to brush it off. No, deeply. يعني you put the water in, as long, يعني you haven't reached the level of washing where you need to soak it. You put water on it and you scrub it. And what is the characteristic of this little baby boy? This baby boy is the one who's still suckling from his mother, and he hasn't eaten food with desire to eat that food. There's a difference between a baby who's, let's say, 9 months, his mother giving him milk from her breast, but at the time, every now and then, she stuffs in his mouth some food. This baby is still considered from the baby boys that you can sprinkle the water with nadah, using nadah. طيب. But if he start desiring that food while his mother still suckling him, then you have to wash it. Yani he start want that food and he start disliking his mother's milk. But whilst his main meal, his mother's milk, and not seeking other means of sustenance, then you can sprinkle. طيب, what is the wisdom? Of course, a lot of ulama came with a lot of different arguments. Some say because the girl, by nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her, and her urine is very strong. And Ibn al-Qayyim has a different approach. He said because people normally love to pick up little boys. Usually the people are happier with the boy, and the boy get passed around with a lot of people, while the little girl will remain with her mother because she's a little girl, and so on. This is the wisdom that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah put forward. But the reality, يعني الله أعلم, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we can combine the two, or الله أعلم what is the issue behind it. But this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that النضح, يعني for the urine of the little baby boy who hasn't eaten food. And then now we move to another issue, which is different types of najasa. We spoke about removing the najasa generally, and how it is removed, and the material that we can use to remove it, and the number of times you use it to remove the najasa. Now we want to talk about some different types of najasa. He said, "Hiya wa kadhalika al-madhi," and the same applies to a discharge of prostatic fluid, madhi. What is the madhi? The madhi is a fluid, thin white, it comes out at the time of desire. It's a difference between the madhi and the mani. The mani is the sperm, which is thick. The madhi just comes out by itself from the person just thinking about desire, but it is not like the sperm where you need to have a ghusl for. Right? It's something different. Here, he used the dalil. What is the dalil? The dalil for what? Dalil that the madhi, you do not have to wash, you only have to do what? Sprinkle water. He said about the madhi, rahimahullah, and the madhi, it is sufficient for you to sprinkle water. And here they use the dalil that is in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked about the madhi. He said, tawadda wandah farjak, make wudu and indah, yani sprinkle your private parts. But the majority of the ulama went to a second different opinion. The majority, that you must wash off the madhi. And you will see, everything that comes out from the private parts, it has to be washed. Except of course wind. Yani, but everything that comes out from the private parts, you have to wash it when it comes to your clothes, and you have to wash your private parts from it. طيب, except wind. Here he said, the majority went to an opinion, as in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim about the madhi. He said, tawadda waghsil dhakarak. He said to him, tawadda, make wudu and wash your private part. combining this, it leads us to what? Huh, Shabab, please stay focused with me, because fiqh is this subject where you need to always use your brains, all right? And you need to learn to how to deal with the dalil. Once you taste that sweetness of how to deal with the dalil, it becomes a very satisfactory subject. Wait until you learn usul al-fiqh. Once you start learning usul al-fiqh, that's a subject either you love it or you fall asleep. So pay attention. Now, in another hadith, in Bukhari and Muslim, what does it say? And see, now you see the conflict of the adilla and how to combine between the conflict of the adilla. And now you know why there is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Yani Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he's not a beginner like us. He's not an intermediate. He's an allama. He's one of the main ulama of the ummah. And he's on this opinion. So he must have his proof. His proof was a hadith in Sahih Muslim. What did he say? He said, make wudu and then sprinkle your private parts. Another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, it said what? Make wudu and wash your dhakarak, your private part. Tayyib. How do we combine? We say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith said, al-ghasl, wash, and another hadith he said, sprinkle. So which one do we take? The wash. Because the basic principle, anything that comes out, you need to wash from it. You wash your private parts from it. But I want to read you some ulama, what they have said. Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, Ibn al-Arabi, and al-Nawawi, and al-San'ani, and al-Shawkani, they all said, it is consensus that al-Madhi is najas. Al-Madhi is najas. Hence, how do we combine between the two hadith? We said, we take the ghasl because whatever najasa comes out from, you need to wash from. Then we say, if you sprinkle water, because remember the madhi comes in small drops, it doesn't come like the urine. If the sprinkling of water removes it, then it suffices. If it doesn't, you go to a following level, which is the wash. And that's why the majority of the ulama, they say when it comes to najasa, it has to be removed. That's why they prefer what? Al-ghasl. Al-ghasl, because it makes you reach which level? Certainty. You with me? It makes you reach the level of certainty in removing the madhi. And here he said also, وَيُعْفَى عَنْ يَسِيرِ. Here he said, a small amount of this is overlooked. A small amount of it is overlooked. طيب. Why the small amount? First, the golden rule. What is the golden rule? The Sharia always overlooks the small little tiny amount. Yani, for example, if we say the blood is najas, a small drop of blood that come out and it hits your thawb, do you have to wash your thawb from it? Ah. The Sharia came to overlook little drops of najasa. طيب. And here, as in the hadith of Sahal ibn Hunayf, radiallahu anhu, قال كنت ألقى من المذي شدة. Sahal ibn Hunayf, he said, I used to find hardship from madhi. فسألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك. And I asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and I asked the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم about this. فقال إنما يجزيك من ذلك الوضوء. It is sufficient for you to make wudu. يعني not to have a ghusl. He said to him, قلت يا رسول الله فكيف بما يصيب ثوبي منه. How about what comes on my clothes from it? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يكفيك أن تأخذ كفا من ماء فتنضح بها من ثوبك حيث ترى أنه أصابه. He said, it is sufficient for you to take a handful of water and to sprinkle it over what has came from it on your clothes. Can you see? Because in the basic principle about the madhi, it doesn't come out with big amounts, only with a small amount. So if it's a small amount, we say, use the nadah. And if it's a big amount, we say, then you need to wash it off. طيب. This is combining the adillah. And then he said, وَيَسِيرُ الدَّمْ, as is a small amount of blood. A small amount of blood. First, what does this mean?
Is blood najas or not najas? This is what we want to talk about. There's so many arguments about this point of blood. What blood is najas? The blood of the animal, is it najas? Is it not najas? The blood of the animal that we can eat, is it najas or not najas? How much of blood is najas? Is the blood of a human is najas or not najas? Now, I'll probably take the next 15 to 20 minutes just explaining the issue of blood. Why? Because it is reoccurring to our brothers all the time. Specifically, the brothers who play sport. You see a brother playing sport, playing soccer, falls on his knees and bleeds. The blood come on the clothes. The salat time coming, he's standing while his leg is still dripping with blood. This is an example, isn't it? Blood of an animal. You slaughtered an animal and then there is a lot of blood coming out of it. Is it najas or it is not najas? I want to concentrate on this point, even though the book is a bridged book, but I see it is important to expand on the point of blood. First and foremost, there is two divisions of blood. Pay attention to this because this is very important. There's two divisions to blood. There's the blood of a human and the blood of an animal. The blood of a human divided into two types. Blood of menses and postnatal bleeding. The second type of blood of a human other than the blood of menses and postnatal bleeding. Then you have the blood of the animal. The blood of an animal is divided to four. Animal that you can eat, animal that you cannot eat, animal that has no blood, like what? Insects. And the blood of a dead animal, mayta. We start with al-hayd wal-nifas and al-istihadah. Hayd, menses, nifas, postnatal bleeding, and al-istihadah, which is the blood that comes out from the woman other than the hayd wal-nifas, which is some women always continuously bleed. That is istihadah. We will talk about the divisions of this blood when we get to the chapter of Hayd and Nifas. But this is what we need to understand so far. This first one, what is the ruling? According to the agreement of the ulama, it is najas. طيب, under it also befalls the blood that comes out from the private parts. From men or women. What do you mean private parts? Yani somebody who has problem, he bleeds from within and comes out from the same place as urine or from the backside. That blood is najas with the agreement of the ulama. Here the adilla is Asma. She said that a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, one of us, blood from her hayd comes on her clothes. What does she do? He said, تحطه ثم تقرصه بالماء ثم تنضحه ثم تصلي فيه. He said, she rubs her off, then she wash it with water, then she sprinkle, and then she pray in it. So, it has to be totally removed. This first. The hadith is Aisha radiallahu anha. A woman asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the menses of blood, how does she purify herself? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this woman, after you have her ghusl, he said, take a bit of rug and put mask on it and then put it on your private parts and where the blood was. She said, how do I atatahar? How do I purify myself? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, subhanallah. Yani, it's a woman asking for graphic details. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani, sometimes you feel shy. Yani, some people, they don't have an issue to talk about. They say there is no shyness in deen and they go into graphic details. No. If the Prophet ﷺ said, subhanallah, tatahari, yani, come on, how far can you get in the explaining? You should understand. You purify yourself. طيب. Then Aisha radiallahu anha pulled her over and she said to her, tatabba'i biha athar ad-dam. Yani, where the blood comes out from? Yani, put the mask. And then from this, yani, of course, the hadith of many, that the dam of hayd and nifas and istihada, it is all najasa. The blood of a human which is other than the hayd and so on. This, there is a difference of opinion between the later scholars and the early scholars. You with me, Shabab?
By the way, the four imams on agreement, al-imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, al-imam Malik rahimahullah, al-imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, al-imam Ahmad rahimahullah, they all agree human blood is najas, najas impure. The later scholars like the Shawkani, the Albani rahimahullah, and Ibn al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, they all said it is not najas. Let's hear the argument, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blesses the Ummah. You don't know where He put His blessing in this Ummah. Who gets the right opinion? Maybe after 1,000 years, Alim comes with the correct opinion. Let's listen. The first is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the Adilla. We're going to the Adilla of the four Imams. The first Dalil, the main Dalil, they said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-An'am, verse 145, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل لا أجد فيما أوحي إلي محرما على طاعم يطعمه إلا أن يكون ميتة أو دما مسفوحا أو لحم خنزير فإنه رجس أو فسقا أهل لغير الله به فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فإن ربك غفور رحيم. Here he said, say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, I find not in that which has been revealed to me anything forbidden to be eaten by one who wishes to eat it, unless it to be maita, a dead animal, or a blood poured forth by slaughtering, or the like, or the flesh of a swine, for that truly is impure or impious, unlawful meat of an animal, which is slaughtered as a sacrifice for others, yani other than Allah, or has been slaughtered for idols, or on which Allah's name not been mentioned while slaughtering. But whosoever is forced by necessity without willful disobedience, nor transgressing due limits, for him certainly your Lord is often forgiven, most merciful. So here, what is the dalil? They said the dalil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, أو دَمًا مَسْفُوحًا, a blood that is poured forth. He said, this is the dalil that the dam is najas. Let's see the later scholars what they've said. The later scholars they've said, and some of them, yani, as we said, the Shawkani or Albani or Uthaymeen rahimahullah, they said our dalil first is something, the basic principle about everything to be pure until it is proven it is najas. And we do not know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered to wash blood except the blood of menses. All the ahadith, if we collect them and analyze them, where the Prophet ﷺ said you need to wash the blood, we cannot find he ordered to wash blood except the blood of menses. And we all know people bleed a lot. Cuts and nosebleed and hijama that used to be popular in the days of the Prophet ﷺ. And we do not know where the Prophet ﷺ ever said go wash from that blood. So if the Prophet sallallahu, if it is najas, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have told us, because the need for it exists. And it's not something that's going to happen once a year in your lifetime. This is something could happen to you every second day. Every third day we get a little cut here, a little cut there sometimes. And especially when they used to do hijama, was popular in their days, and the bleed and nosebleed and everything. We do not know where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to wash. Tayyib. Also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he said, we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just summarized the hadith. He said, one of the muhajirin and one of the ansar to safeguard a shu'ub. A shu'ub is like a pass. طيب. So he said, go guard it so no one can come in. Al-muhajiri, the muhajiri slept. Al-daja, yani he took a nap while the ansari stood. And then the ansari started to recite the Quran and started to do Qiyam al-Layl. And then someone saw him and he shot him with an arrow. And he kept shooting him with the arrow and he started to bleed. Then Al-Muhajiri woke up and said to him, you're bleeding. He said to him, Wallahi, I didn't want to stop until finish my surah that I was reading. I was so enjoying the surah, I didn't like to cut it off, even though I was bleeding. Tayyib. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the blood was najas, you cannot pray with your najasa. And if the blood nullifies the wudu, then The Prophet ﷺ would have told him, the blood has nullified, your wudu, your salat wasn't accepted. True or not? And you have to understand there is a golden rule in fiqh, again, which is, لا يجوز تأخير البيان عن وقت الحاجة. It is not allowed for the Prophet ﷺ to delay something, the information about something, when it is necessary. It goes against prophethood. And the Prophet ﷺ cannot see something wrong, except he have to say something about it. Because if he does not say anything about it, what does it become, Ya Waleed? It is allowable. And if Prophet ﷺ sees someone doing something wrong, and he does not say anything about it, it becomes what? Allowed. هذا إقرار. Allowed. يعني, so it becomes allowed. So the Prophet ﷺ, especially in the issues of necessity, if it is issue of makruh, he can delay it. But issues of necessity, when it is necessary, if the Prophet ﷺ knew that the bleeding, the blood on a person needed, it was najasa, then the Prophet ﷺ had to tell him, you have to go wash yourself from it. So this is the second dalil. Another dalil, as it has been narrated authentically, that al-Muslimina ma zalu yusalluna fi jirahatihim fil qital. Some of the companions used to say that the Muslims were always praying in their scars whilst they are fighting. When they're fighting and they get scarred or cut, they used to pray with their wound bleeding. And sometimes they get a lot of blood and sometimes a little amount of blood. Also another dalil, that the part of a human is piwa. Yani if someone's hand cut off, is his hand najis? No. His hand still piwa. So if you cut off his hand is full of blood yet will still consider it piwa. طيب. And from the qiyas, and listen to this qiyas. Now this is the fifth dalil. Listen to this qiyas. Is the maita of fish piwa or impiwa? The shark. Does the shark bleed? Yes. Can you eat shark? Yes. The maita of the shark. The maita. Let's say somebody hunted a shark and left it. You came and you saw it floating, still fresh. You picked it up. Can you eat it? Yes. Yeah. Companions found the dead whale on the beach and ate from it. Tayyib. Is the blood of the shark najas? No. Tayyib. A human being, his maita is tahira. Yani the dead person is piwa or impiwa? Tayyib. The blood of the dead fish, the maita of the fish, is piwa. Hence the same reason, if the maita of a human being is piwa, then the blood becomes piwa. You see the qiyas way? Purity in here and purity in the dead fish and the purity in the dead human, the blood then, because the blood is a product of the body. It's not something that is outside the body. We understand it? This is the adilla. This is sort of the adilla. Of course, except the blood that comes from, yes, from the private parts, because that is mixed with najasa. Mixed with what, ya shabab? Najasa. It's always going to be mixed with najasa. We understand that? It's always going to be mixed with najasa when it comes out from the private parts. Otherwise, it is no najasa in the blood of a human being. So, is the adilla convincing? Nah, the adilla is convincing that the blood that comes out from a human being is not najas. It could be awful, could be disgusting, but it doesn't mean it is najas. The second part, the blood of an animal. The second part, the blood of an animal. The ulama also, yani the ulama, they said, some ulama said it is najas. But the same opinion, it can be said. We're talking about something that is can be eaten. A blood of an animal that can be eaten. A lot of ulama said it is what, ya shabab? Piwa. And some ulama said it is najis. But the reality is, when we talk about the animal that we can eat, the flesh, is it piwa? If we slaughter it? Yes. There is no strong dalil to say that the blood of the animal that is slaughtered is najas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was praying in front of the Kaaba. And then Abu Jahl and his companions, they said, who from amongst you will bring us the sal al-juzur? Sal al-juzur is the guts of an animal. And then they put it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, sal al-juzur is, it contains blood. And then he kept on praying. He did not lift his head, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no cut off his salat, and alayhi la'natullah, they were laughing at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What has been authentically narrated from Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he has slaughtered juzur, yani camels, and then he was, you know, full of blood from the juzur, and the salat has started, and he stood up to the salat radiyallahu anhu, and he prayed in his clothes, which is, he had blood on it. What does then blood masfuh, blood gushing forth? The blood gushing forth, it is, as the ulama said, yani, it is the blood that when you slaughter the animal and it comes in a huge amount, if you see it, when you slaughter and start gushing, then this is the blood, a lot of it, it turns to najasa and you need to remove it. Now, the correct opinion, Allahu A'lam, the correct opinion with the issue of the blood that comes from animal, when it comes in big quantities, in big quantities then becomes a najasa. A smaller quantities, when it comes on your body and on your clothes, it is not najasa, you can pray with it. Tayyib, how did we differentiate? I'll tell you how. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked about the blood that sometimes when you buy the meat, you put it in the pot, you see blood start to make a thick skin over the water. Of course you remove it, but is that najis? No, you'll eat the meat. And the meat that is inside the veins, when you cut up the meat, is still blood inside the veins, especially if it's a freshly killed, slaughtered. You can eat it? Yes, you can eat it. Can you see? That blood, no one says it is haram. So it is in a small amount. But when the blood, masfuh, comes out in a big amount, gushing forth, because remember the ayah said, awdaman masfuhan. Awdaman masfuhan. Al-masfuh means gush forth. طيب. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 3, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ and so on. The ayah said, forbidden to you for food are al-mayta, the dead animal, cattle, beast, not slaughtered, blood, the flesh of a swine, and so on. See here, he said, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ. حُرِّمَتْ to what? To eat. طيب. حُرِّمَتْ to eat. And the golden rule, not everything haram to eat is necessary najas. And we will talk about the khamra also. If we don't have time today, we'll talk about it next week. Not everything is haram to eat is necessarily najas. Can you give me an example? Cocaine. The bowl of cocaine. Like, it's haram to eat it, isn't it? But is it najasa? Not. It's not najasa. True or not? You will learn also alcohol is haram to drink. But the correct opinion, as we'll talk about it in the next lesson, it's not najasa. It's not najasa. What is the najasa of it is? Tayyib. Poison is haram to eat. Is it najas? So not everything haram to eat necessarily has to be najas, isn't it? Convincing or not? Tayyib. The next one, the blood that any animal, except the cat, that you're not allowed to eat, it is najas. Why? Because the flesh and everything in it is najas. So the blood, remember, the blood is a product of what? It's the body. If the body is najas, then the blood is najas. Tayyib. Now, the other type of animal, the animal that has no blood, that comes out of it, which is, it's not really blood. Is it najas? No, it is not. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if the fly falls into your food, dip it and remove it. We're not saying you're allowed to eat, because you're not allowed to eat insects. Some of the insects except the locusts. But we're talking about the fluid. Is it najas? Yani, if there's a fly on your hand and you hit it, and then you flip it off, do you have to go wash? No. Can you see the point here? So it is najas. The last one is damul mayta. Mayta, an animal that you are allowed to eat, but it's not slaughtered according to the Sharia, it is najas with the consensus of the Ummah. It is najas with the consensus of the Ummah. Now let's go a quick run just to summarize everything. Dam al hayd wa nifas. Hayd wa nifas is najas. The blood of menses and postnatal bleeding is najas. The blood that comes out from the private parts, from the human, is najas. The blood
other than the blood of menses and the blood of menstrual bleeding and the postnatal bleeding and the blood that comes out from the private part that comes from the human, is it najas? According to the correct opinion, no, it is not. The blood of an animal that you're allowed to eat, small amount of it, is it najas? No, the big amount of it is najas. The animal that you cannot eat its meat, type like the dog and the swine and so on, is the blood najas? Yes. Insect blood, is it najas? No. The maita is an animal you're allowed to eat and was not slaughtered. Is it najas? Yes, it is. Now, let's continue a little bit, which is I want to seal with that. Here he said, a small amount of this is overlooked, as is a small amount of blood and any pus or similar matter discharged from it. So, what we said here, a small amount of blood. طيب, which blood he means? الدم المسفوح. طيب, here, أن يعفى عن يسير الدم المسفوح. That the small amount of blood from the blood that is pouring forth from, as we said, pouring forth, it is overlooked. طيب, it is overlooked. Here he said the small amount of blood is overlooked. Let me just explain to you here a little bit, the small amount of blood. طيب, it is, I didn't want to go into that depth, but let us go straight away since we're talking about blood. Let us finish it off, inshallah we pray. Now, how do we differentiate between a small amount and a big amount? According to what? What is the rule? Because you could see something, you could say, no, this is a big amount. But the same person, he says, this is a small amount. What is? It's according to the custom of the average people. The people who are not extremist or they have waswas. You know, some people are extremist. They see a little drop of blood as a head of a pin. No, it has to be removed. This is extreme. And you see some people, they have a huge spot of blood on their clothes. They say, no, this is small amount. So what is? It is according to the custom to the people who are in the middle. Yani whatever the people, if you show it to few people who are level-headed and you say, what do you think? This is a lot. Once again, just a little amount of blood. Then it becomes little amount. Now, we, in this division that I'm talking about, we're not talking about the little that you cannot see with your eye. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a small amount of blood. Tayyib, which is, could be the size of a coin. A size of a coin. First, here we say, the first type of blood that you cannot overlook at all. Which is which type of blood? The blood of that comes out from private parts. Like the blood of menses. You cannot overlook the blood of domesticated donkey. Because it is haram to eat. The blood of a dog comes on your clothes. The blood of a rat comes on your clothes. Just an example. This is... And the blood of a maita, an animal that you're allowed to eat, but it was not slaughtered. You hit a kangaroo with your car, and then you want to remove it off the road, and some of his blood came on your clothes. Then this is what? You cannot overlook it, and you have to remove it. The second type is a blood that you can overlook the small amount of it, which is the blood of an animal that you're allowed to eat, and slaughtered according to the Sharia. If it came a little amount on your clothes, can you pray with this clothes? Yes. طيب. The third, the pure blood, which is the blood of, for example, the fish. The blood of the fish. These are the three types of blood in general. Of course, blood of, under the third category, before the blood of insects, and the blood inside the flesh that you're going to cook. You have a steak, and you know how it has some blood, and some of that blood come on your clothes while you're cooking. Can you keep praying with this clothes? Yes, you can. So, these are some of the blood. This is some of the blood, yani, which is, you can overlook the little amount, and the big amount, you have to wash it. So, there are three categories. Tayyib, the blood of a human befalls under what? Piwa. It is best to remove it, but if it is there in a small amount, you can overlook that and pray in your clothes. So if you're falling in your football game, and there was some blood, that small amount on your body, not a huge amount, with your arm is soaked with blood,
small amount of your body, then you can overlook that. طيب. Or on your or your t-shirt, small amount of blood, this is overlooked and you can pray normally, inshallah. طيب. Is that understood, inshallah? طيب. Now, as for the pus, just give me 2 minutes. And here he said, whatever. And here he said, whatever. Subhanallah, when I came today, I thought I'm going to make the lesson 20 minutes and go home. Because I was so stressed out, I can't even get a smile on my face. And now, see, it's just the barakah of ilm. Wallahu al-azim, ya akhwa, the barakah of ilm. I forget everything, all the problems that I had today. It just, all of it went out of my head, and I'm as if I am sitting, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a garden, one of the gardens of Jannah. Sitting between your beloved brothers, talking about every word is, you get rewarded for it. Every word, there is a reward for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our act sincere. And we're discussing the best knowledge that Allah revealed to mankind. Ilm of Sharia, what better gathering that you're in. And the angels are around you. And the angels are spreading their wings for us. And they're sitting in their in our gathering. Even the jinn, the good righteous jinn, are sitting and listening and benefiting from us. Shuf subhanallah al-azim. What is a better gathering that relieve the stress and relieve the worry from your system, like hilaqul ilm? There is nothing better. And here he said, as is a small amount of blood and any pus or similar matter, discharge from it. Now, what is discharge from the blood? Pus. The pus. And here, little amount of pus is overlooked. Qiyas on what? Based on what we drawn the analogy? Yeah, but based on what? The blood. If the blood, the small amount is overlooked, then small amount is overlooked. Now, is it all type of blood is overlooked or specific? Specific that we spoke about. Good, alhamdulillah. And here he said also, and Nawawi rahimahullah in the Majmu', he said, the consensus that pus is najas. The consensus is pus is najas because it's a blood turned into filth, nothing. And he said, فَإِذَا كَانَ الدَّمُ نَجِسًا فَالْقَيْحُ أَوْلَى. If the blood was najas, more deserving the pus to be najas. طيب. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, لَا يَجِبُ غَسْلُ الثَّوْبِ وَالْجَسَدِ مِنَ الْمُدَّةِ وَالْقَيْحِ وَالصَّدِيدِ وَلَمْ يَقُنْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى نَجَاسَتِهِ. Ibn Taymiyyah, he has a different opinion. He said, there is no real dalil that the pus is najas. Because remember the basic principle of what? Of everything to be pure. Imam al-Nawawi, he said qiyas. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said no. No, there is nothing to prove that. And here he said, it's been narrated from many companions and predecessors to overlook. And the one who collected them, Ibn Abi Shayba rahimahullah, one of the collectors of ahadith and the sayings of the companions and their students, he collected some of them there. Narration, yani the chain narration is authentic. He said, yani they used to overlook the pus because this is something causes hardship if you're going to chase it and follow it. But regardless, ya ikhwa, normally pus, does it come out in a big amount or a small amount? So a small amount is overlooked. Small amount, overlooked. This is if, pay attention, then Nawawi based his opinion on what, ya shabab? That blood is najas. That comes from a human. We're building our opinion. If we say the blood that comes out of the human is not najas, it's more deserving than the pus is not najas. And especially, we're talking about small amount, huh? Not talking big amount, then the small amount of pus is overlooked. The author said, rahimahullah, وَهُوَ مَا لَا يَفْحُشُ فِي النَّفْسِ. Here he said about the small amount, defining what is the small amount. He said, the expression the small amount refers to that which is not deemed as being extremely excessive according to oneself. What does it mean here? A small amount. And according to whom? What we need to understand that the small, when the Sharia says, okay, small amount of pus is overlooked, or a small amount if blood is overlooked, or a small amount, tayyib, yani blood is overlooked. If it is a small amount, according to whom? Yani for example, the blood, الدم المسفوح, the blood of an animal that we are allowed to eat. If it is slaughtered according to the Sharia. We know a lot of it becomes najasa. Small amount is overlooked. According to him, how much is small amount? You go to the butcher, it's no small amount to him. Everything is small amount. Because he's so used to blood, that small amount, it is not an issue for him. And you go to someone who cannot even see a drop of blood without their stomach turn and they faint, small amount to them is a little drop. The ulama say, no, small amount is according to the middle. Yani the one who are in the middle. Yani that are faint from blood, at the same time, a lot of blood, it means nothing to them, like butchers. So, or like the ones who work in slaughterhouses. So they're in the middle. Yani like you and me, in the middle, small amount is as small as of a coin or something of blood. This is overlooked in the Sharia if it comes on your clothes. We said, do we wash three times? Or we wash, for example, if that small amount of blood come on the clothing and you needed to wash it, or a lot of blood come on the clothing, let's say, or a najasa comes on the clothing, do we have to wash it three times? Or as long as the najasa is removed is sufficient? As long as the najasa is removed becomes sufficient. Not three times, doesn't have to be three times. We combine all the atilla that we have studied. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. I over-prepared actually. Probably I prepared two lessons in advance. But we'll take the questions in 2-3 minutes, inshallah. Yeah, for 2-3 minutes. Yes.
ميتة والدم ولحم. إيه.
Yes. The brother is saying some people eat the steak rare, which is some blood still coming out of it. Akhi, this blood is not najas because it is mixed with the meat, and we said the skin of blood that comes out on the pot and around the pot and in the food, that is not najas. That is not najas. If the animal is slaughtered according to the Sharia, it's not najas, inshallah. And it is my favorite to eat rare steak. Yeah. I don't know. When it's overcooked, I don't even eat it.
Yeah.
Ali.
Is najas, you can pray or no? You have flu whatsoever?
Flu?
Yeah. You can
yeah. Is it the mucus that comes out you're talking about?
Yeah.
No, the mucus that comes out from your nose is not najas. Yeah. Anything, any type is not najas. Any of it is not najas that comes from your nose. It's only what comes out from your private part as a human is najas. Sometimes it's disgusting, but it's not necessarily najas. It's like the issue of the vomit. Is the vomit najas or not? The ulama differed. The correct opinion, Allahu A'lam, there is nothing to say it is najas. There is one hadith that says vomit is najas, and that hadith is weak. Yes, it is disgusting, stinking, it's awful, but it is not najas. But some ulama differentiated. They said it depends where the vomit comes from. If it's the bottom of the stomach, it's already turned najasa, and the top of the stomach. The ulama differed, but the correct opinion, yani, since there is no proof to say it is najas, then it is not najas. Because the basic principle is what? That's why I told you to remember the golden rules. The golden rules say the basic principle of everything to be pure until you can prove it impure. So you need a dalil for impurity, you do not need a dalil for purity. So the vomit, we say, we go back to the asal. The asal, it is pure. Bring a dalil. The dalil of the ones who say it is najas, the dalil is in itself weak and doesn't stand to the level to be accepted as najas. Naam Yanasi.
A woman, when after her menses or her, like her first night of bleeding, there's like that, like a discharge that comes out at the end. But it's, I don't think it's blood.
It's a yellow discharge that comes out from the woman at the end. This is actually a sign that now she's in a state of purity.
So she can pray with.
Yes, of course. Out. Yes, of course. That white discharge that comes, yellow discharge that comes from the woman after she has finished her menses. Actually, this is one of the signs that now she started the purity. Because the signs of where the woman has reached purity are either complete dryness, tayyib, or the yellow discharge. Now,
yeah. There's a hadith that says everything that is dry is holy.
No, not everything is dry is tahir. And there is no hadith to say everything that is dry is tahir, because I can think of 10 different things in my head now where they're dry and they're disgusting. Yes, brother.
You mentioned blood of mu'min, small amount.
A mu'min? I didn't restrict it with the mu'min. I said the blood of the body.
If human or...
A human. Yes. No, there's no difference between the mu'min and the kafir. Is there any... chicken pox? What happens there? That's all right. It's all going to be small amounts anyway.